grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The world has probably turned a corner on what's okay and not okay to eat. In recent years, we learned that a balanced plate of protein, fat, and carbohydrates is probably best. Fats used to be the enemy. Now we consider them our friend. Carbs used to be the king of the food pyramid. Now we need them in moderation. Whole milk used to be taboo, except for skinny four-year-olds. Now 40-somethings like me stock up on 4% every 4 days. The biggest problem today is not availability of good foods and clean foods in the grocery department. It's the economics. Junk food and highly processed food are the cheapest and the worst for you, while good, clean foods, natural, organic, free range, are the most expensive. You get dinged for trying to eat healthy. Yet we value paying a little bit more to that artisan lettuce from the local farmer. So you have to budget based on your produce and also your quality eggs, meat, vegetables, etc. Back in the Old Testament days, clean eating had little to do with health and had everything to do with fidelity to God. Along with the symbolism of the foot or the hoof of the animal in question. A camel's foot had no full separation of the toes. Yet God's people were to be fully separate and set apart from the ways of the world and fully devoted to God. The laws in Leviticus, therefore, were no camels shall you eat, no rock badgers, no pigs or pork products. If you ate such forbidden foods, you were unclean. Not so much because of the animal, but because God had said no, yet you had said yes. It was always about how faithful your heart is to hearing and believing God's word. Laws, even dietary laws, were means to show faithfulness. Who trusts in God and who trusts in their own stomach? When Jesus came on the scene, in his day, he essentially said something that made the Pharisees and the scribes uncomfortable. He said, unclean foods are not the source of unclean people of God. For the scribes and Pharisees were using their dietary laws to try to justify themselves and to judge other people as being unclean. We eat clean, therefore we are clean. Only those who eat the unclean animals are the seriously flawed sinners. Thank God that we're not like them. So Jesus turned their theological food pyramid upside down. Forget the pig and the pork. It's not what goes into a person that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of a person that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. For food enters the stomach, not the heart, and then it's expelled. But evil comes from within and is what defiles a person. Evil originates in an unclean person, not in some unclean animal. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. In other words, it's not because you first do something evil that we become sinners. It's because we are sinners that we do something evil. It's not our stomachs that are unclean because of foods we eat. It's because of our unclean hearts that we disobey God, and so some eat unclean foods as a result. When put that way, there really is no food that we eat that can make us more unclean than we already are. It does us no good to avoid pork or not eat meat on Fridays and Lent or try to become vegetarians for Christ. We will still be unclean because of sin inherited from Adam. Rather, one needs faith in the cleansing food that Jesus brings to you. The food that goes in and cleanses your heart. The food that undoes what Adam and Eve did in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. We must feast by faith on Christ Jesus, the clean one, the perfect balance of righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. We need to feast on him daily as we pray, "Give us, Lord, our daily bread," believing that he gives us clean hearts to all those who love his gift of forgiveness. We should learn what kind of bread that he gives from his table, the bread of eternal life tied to the cross and the open tomb, his works. Because that bread, hearts are without sin. And those hearts praise Jesus. Praise God for the gift, the greatest gift that he gives. His life for your life. His son's death for your death. His resurrection from the dead as your resurrection from the dead. Because of Jesus and that food that he brings, therefore, all foods have been declared clean. Eat a camel if you want. Eat a rock badger if you dare. Eat ham on Easter. It's no sin. All foods are clean. Just remember, you are not unclean by what you eat. You are unclean by what Adam ate. You are not clean because of a stomach that avoided this or that before God, for every food may be received with thanksgiving. You need the clean heart of Jesus, cleansed by his grace, purified by the word of his cross. A little final thought today. I think these are seven words and seven rules for eating. They may have some common sense, some things. They're written by Michael Pollan. He's a food writer. In here, you can also detect that all foods are okay to eat. It kind of fits well with our Christian freedom. I thought I'd share them for you, though. Pollan says that everything he's learned about food and health can be summed up in seven words. Eat food, not too much, mostly vegetables. Probably the first two words are the most important. Eat food means to eat real food, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and yes, fish and meat, and to avoid what Pollan calls edible food-like substances. Here's how. Number one, don't eat anything your grandmother wouldn't recognize as food. When you pick up that box of portable yogurt tubes or eat something with 15 different ingredients you can't pronounce, ask yourself, what are those things doing in here, Pollan says. Number two, don't eat anything with more than 5 ingredients or ingredients you can't pronounce. Number three, stay out of the middle of the supermarket. Shop on the perimeter of the store. Real food tends to be on the outer edge of the store near the loading docks where it can be replaced with fresh foods when they go bad. Number four, don't eat anything that won't eventually rot. There are exceptions, honey, but as a rule, things like Twinkies that never go bad, don't eat those, Pollan says. Number five, it's not just what you eat, but how you eat. Always leave the table a little hungry. Many cultures have rules that you stop eating before you are full. In Japan, they say eat until you are 4/5 full. In German, they say tie off the sack before it's full. Number six, families traditionally ate together around a table, not a TV. At regular meal times, it's a good tradition. Enjoy meals with the people you love. Remember when eating meals between meals felt wrong. Pollan asks. Number 7, don't buy food where you buy your gasoline. In the U.S., 20% of food is eaten in the car. Friends, all foods have been declared clean. Don't worry yourself to death about what is clean and not clean in terms of your relationship with God. For God gave you the food that you need for eternal life. This food cleanses you. This food of his cross and his open tomb, may it cleanse your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus always. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.